This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimate.
You are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are a weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot. I am here with Edie.
Hello.
Hi. I built myself up too much there.
Sorry, I wasn't energetic enough. Let's try that again. Hi, Elliot. It's me. I'm so excited.
I'm also excited, Edie. It's been an exciting little week, a lot of controversy, a lot of drama, a lot of talking, and a lot of that, unfortunately, is revolving around Cyberpunk 2077.
Well, to be honest, I always knew that whenever Cyberpunk 2077 decided to release, it was always going to be a very controversial week, and probably month for Cyberpunk 2077, just because it's so hyped.
Oh, yeah. And no small part of that is just the fact that everybody wants to talk about it, whether you're all for it or all against it. The reality is it's such a big release that it gets people talking. And probably things that a smaller game did would go unnoticed, but because of Cyberpunk 2077, obviously, everybody has to talk about it. And we did actually talk about it quite extensively on our most recent radio broadcast, too. And if you want to hear, like, a review of sorts on that, you can tune in and find our podcast for that. However, I wanted to also talk about some of the stuff going around the review process. And it's something a lot of outlets have spoken out about already. It's something you wrote an article on, Edie, for checkpointgaming.net too. But there seems to be a lot of outlying factors that gets everybody talking and has started some conversations around, you know, reviewing, like crunching for reviews or even just the way certain embargo information is passed on and enforced as well. That has definitely been a talking point too.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not a new thing. The reality is a lot of the times review codes are not given to reviewers in a good enough time to sit down and review the game properly, because the reality is a video game is not designed to be played for like 3 days straight or even for a week straight. You know, it's designed for you to take breaks. Sure, you can whiz through the game if that's what you want to do, but most game developers are making this game assuming that you're going to take breaks, you're going to take meal breaks, you know, you're going to go to work in between play sessions. But when we do get a review code just a couple of days before the embargo date, which is the time and date that reviews are allowed to go live, it means that game reviewers have to like really crunch through the game. And I use the word crunch because in the case of Cyberpunk 2077, a lot of the reports by the reviewers, how they've talked about how long they played the game for, the fact that they didn't sleep, they didn't eat, they didn't really move to get away from their computers. It is worryingly like the same kind of language that developers that have to go through crunch. It's the same language that they use, which is, I mean, it's just not healthy.
Yeah, I mean, people have specifically talking about feeling ill after finishing with their reviews, getting really no sleep, or having unhealthy kind of relationships as well. Like, it's created unhealthy relationships with their partners who have to be around them whilst they're only focusing on one thing for, like, 3 days straight. I think it is interesting. I think it's also, like, there's possibly some offense that could be taken for co-opting the term crunch and using it to describe a 3 day period when, you know, typically crunch culture is something that's happened for game developers who go for months, sometimes years crunching, and to kind of to say that they're one of the same, you know, I could see how people would look at that and say, you know, actually, it's not exactly the same.
It's not exactly
and that's
the same.
Fair.
Yeah, look, and I think it's correct to say that the two can't be compared to be an equal amount of unhealthy, because, you know, one is just for a couple of days and the other one is most often like for weeks and months at a time. But I also don't think that that's a really an excuse to kind of not talk about it.
Oh no,
I feel like I feel like it'll be I like to keep it in the same umbrella, so to speak. Obviously one is much worse for the person doing it than the other. But it's, you know, crunch is crunch is crunch, no matter how long it lasts for. It's still an unhealthy way to work. And I've seen the same arguments for both against the labeling of crunch for both things. It's like, well, how can you not enjoy this? It's like a dream job, you know, like for a game developer, you get to make games. That's great. That's a dream job. And for us, it's like, wow, you get to just play games and write about it. That's a dream job. Well, that's true, but it's also is work. It's a job.
Yeah, and I think it's worth clarifying a few things here before we progress as well. I think throughout this intermeds, it'd be good to talk about both the outcome of kind of crunching on the well-being of game writers and of reviewers, and what we can do in the future, or what we should do, or what we should expect from the industry as a whole, but also just the outcome on what, you know, crunching through a video game review can do to an actual like review and a review score, and how potentially that's being utilized deliberately by some developers, and, you know, having the reviewer be influenced in their own way because they aren't playing this game in the normal way that other people are playing it, which is super interesting. Like just the psychology of a reviewer and what goes into a review. And I think it's also worth pointing out that we're quite lucky here at Checkpoint. You know, I've been reviewing Cyberpunk 2077. We didn't get our code until release date, but I always knew I wasn't in the position where I had to get it out within 3 days. You know, where a lot of publications are vying for that embargo day where it's really sink or swim. It's like, well, if we don't get it out then, we lose all our clicks, we lose all our revenue, there was no point us reviewing this in the first place, we've wasted a whole bunch of time. Whereas for us, because of the radio show as our main kind of outlet, we can talk about a game and put it up for review, you know, maybe a week later. We still strive for embargo. Right. We still want to make sure that our followers and our readers are as informed as they possibly can be. But also, I think we want to make sure that our thoughts are as good as they possibly can be and not misleading at all. And if that means we'll take a bit longer, then we'll take a bit longer, you know?
We are definitely lucky in that way because we don't run ads on the checkpointgaming.net because we're all volunteers. We don't have to worry so much about losing clicks because it doesn't mean loss of revenue for
us. Doesn't mean we're going under, you know.
Yeah, exactly, which is not the case for a lot of these other review sites. They do rely on ads. And speaking to our editor-in-chief, Luke, I asked him, you know, well, how many clicks do we normally get for a review if we publish the review on the day the embargo releases versus, you know, a couple of days from now? And he said, just ballpark, we probably get 10 times the amount of clicks if we are on time with releasing our review for embargo day compared to even like a couple of days after that. So for those sites who do need to run ads to keep going, that's a huge loss. And it really does contribute to why, even though they know it's an unhealthy practice, they will like spend 2 days straight playing through a game just to get it out by that review date. So it's obviously not exactly the fault of the developers just for giving us the review code or giving everyone the review code, late, so to speak, because we're not really beholden to them. But it is tough that we can't control the schedule in that way.
Yeah, it is really tough. And I think it's honestly a complicated conversation that goes and branches in so many paths. And in many ways, you and I, Edie, have already argued a little bit on the subject. And I think a lot of the messaging and conversations I've been seeing, I sometimes feel like I'm on the opposite side of a lot of those conversations. And I don't know, like, I think reviewer integrity and journalistic integrity comes into this a lot as well. And,
yeah,
and it's
true.
Hard because every time this conversation comes up, it feels like there are these set pillars put in place that are immovable. And those set pillars are review must go up at time of embargo. And I think if that is a set pillar for you and your website, then maybe you are sacrificing journalistic integrity over clicks and revenue. And
yeah, I in general I agree. That's why I wanted to bring up the fact that review sites can't really control the schedule as much. Like, to take your example, if they choose journalistic integrity, they must necessarily lose that 10 times clicks on the embargo date. They can't move the embargo date. In the case of a developer crunching, well, they do kind of have the ability to move the release date. They can delay a game. A journal outlet or a games outlet doesn't have that opportunity. So if they do, if they want to avoid crunch and make the best review they can, they don't have an opportunity to delay the game without losing, delay the review without losing those potential clicks. And that's where a lot of journo sites get stuck. I believe that's why they choose, well, maybe the review won't be as good as if we'd spent a couple of weeks with the game. And especially with a long game like Cyberpunk 2077 with so much stuff in it, it's my opinion anyway that you really would want to spend at least 2 weeks really going through the game.
Yeah, exactly. But 2 weeks was just not feasible in this specific case. And that's kind of why, wherein lies the problem, you know? And Cyberpunk isn't the only one. It's not even the worst offender. There are so many games that are given out to outlets on day of or day before embargo. Sometimes, I remember Fast and the Furious Crossroads, they just didn't give out review code. They were like, meh. Like, we don't want people to review this game. They knew it was bad.
Please don't review it. Please don't look at it.
But, you know, at least Cyberpunk was given out, I think it was under a week, but it was close to a week to a lot of the bigger review outlets before release. And so there was time there. And I remember a lot of the conversations around when Bethesda changed their review policy and they said, oh, we're only giving all journos review code the day before or the day of. I don't remember what it was, but it was one or the other. And a lot of people started crying out and were like, that's ridiculous. It's totally anti-consumer. You expect all these people to purchase your game day one without there being any reviews to kind of let the consumer know whether this is a worthwhile product. You're trying to, you know, remove all the conversations and critiques that are possible about your game. This is awful. And I was on board with that conversation. I was like, yes, like, I think the consumer should have the right to hear opinions before they make these purchases. They're expensive purchases, you know.
Yeah.
But the conversation around Cyberpunk was different because embargo date and release date were different. It was 3 days prior. A lot of people got their review out on embargo date who could have easily waited a couple more days, spent more time with it, and published it before the game released, but after the embargo date was up. And still chose not to. And so the conversation changed and it started becoming about crunch and about game reviewer crunch. And I mean, it's really hard to argue against the wellness of other people, but where do you put the blame? That's the hard part.
Yeah, that is where I'm split, because it's the reality that obviously it's not the developers, it's not CD Projekt Red's fault. To use this case as an example, it's not their fault that reviews went up on embargo date just because they got the game a little bit late in terms of getting enough time to review it. But it was caused by CD Projekt Red's troubled development with Cyberpunk 2077. I believe, it's my opinion, that if the if the development had been less troubled and they hadn't had a crunch culture themselves, they'd perhaps delayed the game about 6 months more. In our previous discussion on the show, Elliot, you said if the game had come out 6 months from now, perhaps there wouldn't be so many bugs. I also think that if they had delayed it yet again, of course that would be annoying and they'd get a lot of laughs. So I kind of feel for them on that one. Mm. But they may have also been able to hand out review codes early enough to give journalists enough time or critics enough time to actually spend a lot of time with the game. So I don't necessarily blame them for journalists deciding to, okay, fine, we don't have enough time to review this, but we're going to just crunch through it and then get the review up by embargo date. Their decision to do that is not CD Projekt Red's fault, but it is in result of their not delaying the game any further.
Yeah, and the unfortunate part of this, as a lot of conversations do, it always comes back to money, you know? These journals decide to publish on embargo date because it gets them more money. CD Projekt Red decides not to delay their game because releasing in the Christmas period gives them more money than releasing in June would, you know? And by the same token, you know, every time, or the most recent time they announced that the game was being delayed, their stock prices dropped pretty heavily. You know, this is a publicly traded company and they're beholden to their shareholders, and unfortunately this game was developed during a COVID-19 pandemic, and I don't know how big of an impact that had on the creation of the game, but regardless, it is clear that this game would have needed more time to iron out the kinks and to make it a better product, and they didn't have that time on their side. And sure, they could have delayed it for a third time in a row in a single year, but how much would have that hurt their wallet, you know? And eventually they clearly made the decision that no, it was more important for us to release now and to get that Christmas window and to not disappoint fans yet again, despite the fact that it's going to be glitchy. And I can't even blame them for that decision. I'm sure they weighed it up heavily, and I'm sure they were correct in thinking that this would be a loss if they delayed it again.
Yeah, I feel for them on that one as well. I am very conscious of the fact that, you know, I'm feeling a bit hardly done by, because, you know, we only got the code by launch day, and I feel for a lot of other outlets that only got it a couple of days before and had to go through this. I'm very conscious of the fact that the reason I care about it so much is because, you know, we lose out on clicks, opportunity, which is basically the same reason that they, CD Projekt Red, decided not to delay the game any further. It's because they would be missing out on a monetizing opportunity. So, you know, we both have the same kind of motive. So it's frustrating for me and for a lot of other journalists, I believe. But we're all motivated by the same. It kind of, I find it a little bit selfish, to be honest. Like, it's just one of those, you know, this is the biggest release of the year and we didn't get it in time to talk about it properly. Rats. Like, if we were talking about, like, a smaller indie that didn't get as much marketing and hype around CD Projekt Red's games, I'm very conscious that I would not nearly be as mad. So I do feel a little bit selfish here.
but that's—I mean, that's fair. Exactly. Like, I mean, that brings it back to the point where it's like, you know, everyone's in it for themselves, and everybody sees their own perspective first before weighing up others. And you look at it, and you're like, I can't fucking believe that we didn't get code until release date, and here we are, like, having to grind it out. You know, I have played over 20 hours of this game now, in 3 days, and that for me is a lot. Like, I don't ever play that much of one video game.
Yeah, are you actually having fun doing that? I can't believe that's, I mean, it's clearly not the intended experience.
Well, I mean, interestingly, I am having fun with the game, but you're right, it's totally not how I would normally play video games. I would never find myself dedicating that much time to a specific video game, but I am currently doing that with Cyberpunk. And it is my own choice. I want to get this review done, and I want to move on, and I want to share my thoughts. But interestingly, there are people out there that's how they play video games, you know? They'll take time off work, they'll clear their schedule, and they'll jump into a game that they're really excited for, and they'll just play it, and they'll just finish it as soon as they possibly can. And, you know, it's not my style of gameplay, and I probably would be having more fun if I took more time with it. But, I mean, it does raise an interesting point or a concern that the way reviewers are playing games isn't the same as the way players are playing games. You know, I have no doubt in my mind a lot of people beelined the story of Cyberpunk to put out their review without really ever touching the side stuff or the side content, or probably without even finishing the main story. Some outlets would have put out their review, and it's just not the way the game is intended to be played, and it has these adverse effects where you're either particularly dismissive of some aspects of the game because you didn't really see it properly or experience it properly, or you're really forgiving of some aspects of the game because, once again, you didn't really experience it the way you're supposed to or the way other people would.
Yeah, exactly. I think for me personally, part of the reason why I found it so irritating was that this is such a large game, and they obviously do intend for you to play through a lot of the side quests and explore the world and everything like that, and spend far more than like 40 hours with it, ideally. So to be given the code only a few days before, it's just like, how do you expect us to do all of that, guys? Like, they clearly made the decision not really caring about how long the game's journalists would have to play the game. And again, it all comes back to, like, we weren't their motivation, obviously. Their motivation was to just finally, like, make sure the game was as done as it could be by release date. And as evidenced by the multitude of bugs that everyone is reporting in the game, obviously, that is why, well, I say obviously, this is just an assumption, but I'm assuming that part of the reason the review codes were sent out is just because they needed as much time as possible to fix up as many bugs as they possibly could.
Yeah.
I'm comparing this incident with when we got the review copy of Animal Crossing New Horizons, like, on launch day, and even a little bit late on launch day. So just everyone, all of my friends were playing Animal Crossing before I even had it to review. And that certainly wasn't a case of it wasn't ready in time. That game is very polished. Not the most polished, but it's bug-free, I'll give it that. And that was clearly a case of Nintendo deciding not to provide review codes to certain outlets. And we still don't know why they made that particular decision, because it's not something they do in all of their games. We've received plenty of Nintendo's games in like 2 weeks before embargo date is up. So we have plenty of time to play those games. But for certain releases, Animal Crossing was one of them, and I'm trying to think of, there have been a couple other ones. When did we get the Pokemon?
Yeah, Pokemon was on the same day. I had to cover that one, Pokemon Sword and Shield. And I think for Nintendo, it was fear, which was another motivator. Like,
fear of
leaks, I think.
I agree. I think that is the reason.
Yeah, and so there are different motivators for different publishers to not give out review code early, and it's hard for me to be like, oh, we as game reviewers are more important, and therefore you should change your behavior to make sure we have a good time. I don't know. I guess I can't move my head in that direction. To me, it's always about, you know, the consumer.
Oh, yeah,
it's
their choice.
Yeah, I mean, we're not owed anything. We don't deserve anything. Yeah, we're part of this ecosystem, but we latched onto it. You know, developers were making games and sending them out to and selling them to consumers, and here we are joining in on the fun as our own little entity, and making demands of when we should be getting codes and when we shouldn't. And I've never had that mentality, I guess.
Especially for us, because we are not for profit, and we're also certainly not one of the big game reviewers, not one of the famous ones. It is especially hard for us, and I agree with you, Elliot. I often struggle to feel that way, like, hey, we should have gotten this code earlier, instead of like, oh, they gave us a code, sweet, thank you.
Yeah.
That's nice of them. So I think I can definitely see where you're coming from, but I also feel like if we're an agreed part of the ecosystem, you know, they
Well, they
send review
benefit from
codes out.
us, of
Yeah,
course,
they
yeah.
benefit from us. And in the case of Nintendo, this is the case that they were so afraid of leaks, we have signed an agreement with them not to leak anything. So I don't know why they're afraid of that. That's why we would get hit with such a large fine if we ever did leak anything. So I don't really get it.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because they're not going to ever outwardly come out and be like, "Well, this is a specific reason." So a lot of the times it's a guessing game, and you've just got to, yeah, I guess we're just along for the ride. I do respect publications who have strict rules as to, you know, oh, if we don't get a game before release, we're not going to review it kind of thing. It's like, you know, you need to respect us and our time and we're not going to put our reviewers through hell to get something out as quickly as we possibly can, and that seems totally justifiable and fair. But I think for me, we have to look at it and give everybody that same kind of level of choice. You know, if a reviewer can say, you know what, I'm not covering this, I don't feel comfortable crunching to get through this, then surely we have to allow publications or publishers to say, hey, we're not giving you this code, we don't feel comfortable doing so. And that's that, you know?
Yeah, it's still annoying
Oh, it's super annoying. It's super annoying. And I'm sure if Luke was here on this episode, he'd be tearing me to shreds for being such an apologist. But I don't know. It's always been my mentality. Nobody is deserving of anything. We're all just part of the ecosystem trying to survive. And game publishers are doing their best, and we're trying to do our best, and developers are doing their best, and sometimes people do shitty things, and we should call that out. But not giving me a game code on time is not does not rank highly in my list of shitty things that somebody can do.
I suppose, although it could, we would need to examine their actions a little bit more closely to decide whether or not they were really doing their best.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, because that's part of one of their cult controversies is that, you know, they announced the game so many years ago, and they kept hyping it up and hyping it up when they clearly their development cycle clearly wasn't ready for it. And so that's just what's caused problems for everyone, which is partially what grinds my gears in this case. It's just that, like, oh, they should be on the ball, guys. Come on, causing problems for the rest of us.
Yeah, no, they made some blunders, that is for sure. They clearly were not ready for this, and they had to make a lot of sacrifices along the way, and I guess we just got swept up under those list of sacrifices that were made.
Yeah, I mean, really, the big thing for me, which is what has made this specific instance such a thing that's stuck in my mind, is that it's visibly affected so many outlets. You know, like,
A lot of people wrote about this. It was crazy.
yeah, like they mentioned it in the review, the conditions under which they were playing the game. And I've not honestly seen that before. I've not seen it in Red Dead Redemption 2, which is another huge game with an immense amount of detail, that I believe wasn't provided to a lot of outlets strictly on time. I don't think it was as bad as Cyberpunk 2077, but there are reports from a couple of different places where that they didn't get the review code as early as they would have liked. But for this game, it's right there in the review in a lot of places. Like, a reviewer for Kotaku Australia stated in the review that their long amount of time, the amount of time that they put into the game over a short period of days, caused their partner to tearfully question the sanity of letting work encroach upon their personal lives to the point of physical distress. Which is an insane thing to put in a review.
That is an insane thing to put in a review, but I guess it helps the reader be aware of the mentality of the reviewer at the time of review. Like, it's not there for no reason, I guess.
Yeah. Another
but whose fault is that? Like, that's always where my mind goes back. Is that the fault
of... That's where we keep coming back to. Like, who is responsible?
Is it CD Projekt Red's fault? Is it that specific reviewer's fault? Is it that specific reviewer's review editor's fault for pushing them too hard? Like, at some point, you got to examine that and say, yes, obviously this is unhealthy. What do we do to stop it? And either we somehow mandate a rule that forces publishers to give out code 2 weeks in advance, or we just say, no, the responsibility has to lie on that specific outlet and making sure that their writers are healthy and happy.
I think that kind of regulation has a better chance of actually working, only because without that regulation in place, it is up to each publication, because that's just the nature of the economy, right? You know, like, they're not in charge of us, we're not in charge of them. And because of that, we're both making decisions that suit us over the other one. And so for the health of everybody, sometimes it's best to have some kind of regulation in place that says, okay, you can do what you want, but for health reasons, health and safety reasons, this is what has to happen. You need to provide a code at least a week in advance, or 2 weeks, or whatever the amount of time is agreed upon. And so if that regulation is in place, game developers will be aware of it and hopefully will structure their development with that time frame already in mind so they can plan for it. That structure isn't going to work right away. It's going to take time for them to get used to it. And a lot of people might not even agree with that kind of regulation, but at least from my point of view, that's the only thing I can see really working, because I agree with you, Elliot, like the games reviewers have some form of responsibility, but I think so do the developers. And it's going to be hard to pick one over the other to see who's like the more responsible for it, because they're both just looking out for their own bottom line.
Yeah.
Which is why I think just a regulation bridging the two would just be helpful.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And if we saw that regulation come in, I'd be surprised, but I'd be super stoked about it. Like, don't get me wrong, I think it'd be great to have more power in the game reviewer's hands, because a lot of the time the game reviewer is beholden to the game publisher, and we just kind of play the game at other people's by the rules that other people set, and obviously there are times that makes us unhealthy and unhappy, and any additional power that allows us to make sure we get out reviews in a way that is healthy, but also allows us to have more time to put our thoughts together, so that the consumer can also trust reviews more. That can only be a good thing, for sure. I don't see how it could possibly ever happen.
I honestly don't think it's going to happen either. This is just in my fantasy world.
Yeah.
It's how I want the world to be.
Mm. Well,
I wonder
it's...
if movie reviewers have this problem.
Well, no,
like, we didn't get the movie file in time. Rats.
We only got it half an hour before, and it's 1.5 hour long.
Oh, no! Gotta crunch through the movie.
Watch it on fast forward.
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, 2x time. Double time.
Yeah. I mean, it is a problem strictly to game reviews. And, I think probably it's a much bigger conversation that includes journalistic integrity and a whole bunch of other factors too. And I have no doubt that now that this conversation has opened with Cyberpunk, we're going to keep hearing about it in the future too. And maybe something will happen. Who knows? If you keep talking about
it,
positive change can be affected. Crazier things have happened, you know?
Yeah, it's true, true, very true.
All right, that's probably all the time we can dedicate to the Cyberpunk review process. Edie, thank you for chatting with me.
You're welcome. Thanks
My
for
name
arguing
has been Elliot. You are welcome. And we'll see you guys next week for another awesome episode of Checkpoint Intimates.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.